devoted. You can't polish my chrome so clean. We can't fly off into the sunset together. A rusty old American dream still running. A rusty old American dream.
And on this holiday weekend, we welcome your car care questions to Nick Stoffel, who is an ASC certified technician and runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul on Grand Avenue. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
How are you? How was your week?
Well, to be honest, I'm in Florida, so it's been a wonderful week.
Well, you're bringing back some sunshine, I think. By the time you get back, there will be no snow on the ground, is what it looks like now. So your timing was pretty good. Thanks for taking time off on your vacation to help our listeners out, as usual. If you have any problems with your car, your truck, your van, and you need to bring it in for service, but you want to know maybe what could be ailing ahead of time, why don't you call or text Nick? Either way, phone call or text will work, 651-461-9226. Nick, we already have a couple of two or three texts already this morning. 651-461-9226. But let's hear from you earlier rather than later, because Nick will take his leave in about, 30 minutes or so from right now. Our time is brief and it goes by rather quickly. So let's hear from you. If you have car issues, truck, van, 651-461-9226. All right. While we're waiting for more texts or calls, let's get to those that we have right now, Nick. 2019 Toyota RAV4, it's a hybrid. The heat works, texter says. It flows from the vents in the dash, but no warm air flows from the vents blowing on my feet, only unheated air. Adjusted the setting to only vent on the feet, and it still only blows unheated air. Help, my feet are cold. Well, maybe this week things will warm up. But what could be going on there?
Well, I would suspect something with maybe the blend door, inside the dash where the heater box is. There's a series of actuators and doors that control the temperature of the air flowing and the location. So whether you have it up on the defrost, the vents, or on the floor, those doors, as you turn the knobs, will fluctuate and change in direction, allowing the air to go to different zones.
And, I mean, how do you correct that?
Well, in yesteryears, they were more of like a mechanical item. There were literally cables, so you turn the knob, and sometimes if you were old enough, you'd remember those knobs would be really hard to turn.
Yeah.
Because mechanically, you were trying to move a cable, move a door that wasn't lubricated, so sometimes that was tough. Well, now it's all electronic. So when you either have a knob or a button on your dash for the heater controls, deciding where you want that, you push the button as it sends a signal to the computer. The computer then sends the power to that door, telling to adjust to whatever desired temperature or location you're looking for. There could be an obstruction too, but I think likely it's one of those actuators that's gone bad.
Now, as a technician, first of all, how do you diagnose that? And then how do you attack it? I mean, do you have to take the whole dash area off?
Well, not necessarily. With any repair, the first step is to confirm the customer's concern. So we would go through the whole process of all the controls, whether it's the defrost, the vent, the floor, and all the temperature settings, recirculation, turn the air conditioning on and off, just to get a full assessment of what's going on. Then at that point, with newer vehicles such as this one, there might even be a code stored within the computer system. So you connect the scan tool, access that computer system, retrieve those codes, and there might be a clue saying, there's a voltage issue or ground issue, which is another clue for us to where to start, And then that last thing we do is pull out the schematic to make sure we're not chasing our tail, so that when we do start the process of taking things apart, we're not just taking the whole dash apart. We're going to isolate the area that we need to be working on.
All right. Well, good luck with that. Again, here's our phone number. It's also our text number, 651-461-9226. Let's grab a phone call this morning. I think Dave checking in from Plymouth this morning, I believe. Dave, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning. I have an 07 Camry that hits hard, on bumps. And I don't know whether it's shocks or struts, whatever they're called. It seems to drive, safely. It doesn't seem to be wobbly or anything, But how do I know whether they need to be replaced or not?
Well, there's a couple things that can be done. Something you can do yourself is joust the vehicle, meaning you go to the front or rear bumper or the trunk lid or the hood, and you kind of depress down. Something you can do yourself is joust the vehicle, meaning you go to the front or rear bumper or the trunk lid or the hood, and you kind of depress down. It kind of like you're bouncing the car a little bit. Push it down a couple times and then stand back and see. It should just rebound right back up and settle in. If you notice that it's rebounded a couple times, that's letting you know that they've lost their dampening ability and they're kind of worn out. Another thing that we would do at the shop is we'd raise it in the air. We would look for any kind of leaking from those cylinders of the shocks or struts. And then also look at some of the other pivot points, control arms, ball joints, some of the things that might be moving or worn that can give it kind of an abnormal feeling when you hit a bump in the road.
Thanks, Dave, for the call. Now, I understand what shocks do. What's the purpose of struts? What do they do?
Well, they serve the same purpose. They dampen the wheel as it hits the road. The difference is a shock was like a two-eyelet component on an older vehicle that would connect the axle to the frame of the vehicle. So when you go down the road, the shock would kind of dampen that axle as it went down the road. Well, with advancements, technology, and vehicles, we now have struts, especially in the front of the vehicle, where that strut actually has a bearing at the top. So the way it's designed is that when you turn the wheel, the whole strut pivots with the wheel, gives it better handling, better alignment angles, better tire wear, a lot of things. So it's just a different design of the same functional component.
Okay, got it. I know we're going to break quickly, but let's do this. Let's grab a phone call first before the break. Ken, calling in from Durand, Wisconsin, I believe. Thank you, Ken. What's your question for Nick?
So my question, Nick, is I have a 2014 F-150 pickup, and I can be driving this thing down the road, and I'll get the wrench light will pop on in the dash, and then all of my gauges completely shut down, my speedometer, everything completely shuts down, and my engine goes into a limp mode. So I pull over, shut it off, start it back up, and everything is working fine. So it's done this about 3 or 4 times now, and I don't know what the heck it is.
Well, that's a frustrating problem to be having. Off the cuff, I would tell you my suspicion is something with the throttle body. There might be a code stored to them. Your next step is to have somebody gain access to the computer, retrieve the code, but I suspect there's something wrong with the throttle body. The throttle body is the electronic unit that controls the air into the engine. So when you depress the gas pedal, there used to be a cable that went from your foot into under the dash and actually would move the butterfly itself. Well, now there's a sensor that determines how much you're depressing the pedal back to the computer, and the computer sends a signal to the throttle body, which will then adjust that butterfly to determine how much air gets into the engine. Something's, the computer doesn't like something, so as a default, it doesn't want to have that throttle plate opening further than it should, accelerating the vehicle when it should not. So it sees that problem, it goes into what you call limping mode. So that's where I think you're headed, but I would start with getting some codes, get a little more information.
All right, thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call, and we're going to take a quick break here, invite our listeners to join in. We have more texts coming up. If you have a car care question, you want to call it in or text it in, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, 35 degrees. We're going to be heading near 41 today for Easter Sunday tomorrow. Small chance of showers in the afternoon, but the highs near 45. Right now, 35 on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASE Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, before we get on with things, for folks that maybe need the help from you and your crew at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Absolutely. So if you have a question, need advice, or whatever you need, try giving us a call, 651-228-1316. If you happen to be in St. Paul on Grand Avenue or at 982 Grand, the yellow brick building, green awnings, stop in and say hi. And as always, I'd appreciate if you check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll get that info as you take your leave, which is about 7:45 or so this morning. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Texter said this earlier this morning, a 2011 Honda Pilot, they put in a new battery a couple of weeks ago, it says, and now when they tried to start it 2 weeks later, all they get is a clicking sound when they try to start it, and even trying to jump start it will not start the vehicle. What's going on there?
That's tough. I still suspect there's an issue with the battery. The battery's dead. I understand that it's been replaced, so it leads me to my next point is I suspect that there's a drain in the system that wore that battery down. So we always want to be careful, not just assume that the battery's bad. Sometimes it's the easiest path, but not always the right path. So I would have somebody, you know, get the meter out, check for a drain in the system or a draw, and figure out what that draw might be, you know, wiring diagram again, voltmeter again, and kind of pinpointing the location of that. You resolve that problem, and then you won't have a problem with the battery anymore. So I suspect there's something a little bit more than a battery going on here.
Yeah, I guess. Let's grab a phone call from Chris, calling in from Buffalo this morning. Chris, hi, good morning. What's your question for Nick?
Yeah, good morning, guys. I read on the Internet, and you can't believe everything you read on the Internet, but that certain car companies, Chrysler, I think, was mentioned, and Subaru, for an independent dealer like yourself, Nick, to work on and do certain jobs on vehicles other than a basic oil change, you're going to need to buy a software program that allows you to reprogram things. Are you aware of anything like that?
That stands true for most vehicles, to be honest with you. You know, they have, depending on the level of information, and they want to be careful, and I understand, because a lot of security, anti-theft, with remote starts and keyless entry, they have to be careful not just to let the information out for everyone to have. But when you have the right subscriptions, you follow all the right protocols, any manufacturer is going to require some sort of interface to do programming. Some of them have a higher level of security depending on what you're trying to accomplish. So it's not just Chrysler or Subaru. It's all manufacturers that have a different version of it, but they all have something that we need to purchase or subscribe to in order to do programming.
All right. Good question. Thanks for that. Let's see. I'm trying to catch up on some text messages. Here's another one. I think, Nick, as you probably agree, if there's one question we get a lot of, and it's about oil changes, and we've had for years, I think. This texter just had my oil changed. They said the new sticker on the windshield says every 3,000 miles or 3 months. Now, they used full synthetic oil. Does every 3 months sound right?
Well, my quick answer would be, historically, I would say 3 months, 3,000 on a conventional type oil, 5,000, 5 months on a full synthetic oil, depending on the circumstances in the vehicles. Maybe it was a mistake, or maybe there's a reason on that particular vehicle they want a shorter interval. And, you know, but oil changes are always our hot topic, but, you know, and we say this every time, that inexpensive maintenance, you know, so if you end up doing an extra oil change over the course of a couple of years, it's $50, $75, maybe $100 in some cases. It's way less expensive than some of these mechanical timing chain engine repairs that we're performing these days. So I would advise people, try to keep on top of it. If your vehicle's using oil, it's a good idea to maybe do it a little more often. So I would maybe inquire with whoever did the service if they have a good reason or if it was just a mistake and they put the wrong sticker in the window.
Okay. Tell you what, let's do this. Let's grab a phone call. They're coming in this morning, big time. Warren is on the line calling in from Tampa, Florida. Hey, Warren, thank you. What's your question for Nick, who also is in Florida?
That's good. It's beautiful weather. I got a 2017 Malibu Premier, and it's got the 2-liter turbo. You know, when you go in there, they try and sell you clean the throttle body. That's got direct injection, that service wouldn't be needed, would it?
Well, the throttle body is taking the air, and so anything that's dirty, that the air filter doesn't catch, is going to end up coating up on that throttle body. And we also, remember, we have our crankcase ventilation system, the PCV, that will also recirculate some of those vapors that can coat up and dirty the throttle plate. So if the throttle plate is dirty, it should be serviced and cleaned. Now, what I think you're referring to is with the direct injection, we no longer have that fuel spraying on the valves. So sometimes you'll go for a service and they might recommend a product that cleans the backsides of the valves, which can be good maintenance. I'm not saying it's going to fix a problem, but it's a good maintenance item to keep those valves clean. So a little bit different thought there, but I think you're on the right path. With the throttle plate, you should still clean the valves. I would say if it's direct injection, every so often one of those products would be fine. If it's a traditional engine, you know, with a regular fuel injection, that wouldn't be necessary.
All right. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a break for that forecast, see what the weather folks are talking about this weekend and the rest of the week on this holiday weekend. We'll be right back with more car care here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good, okay, good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long back with Nick Stauffel, ASE Certified Technician from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. We have, as you know, Nick, a few minutes to go in the show before Jack Farrell steps in here. Let's see how many folks we can help out here text-wise. This texter has a 2012 Hyundai Santa Fe. Sometimes when we turn the ignition switch, the lights on the dash light up, but the starter will not engage. If we wiggle the shifter lever, the car will start as normal. Is there a bad contact somewhere? What do you think?
That's where I'm headed, you know. And it's good self-testing there. You know, when you're in trouble, sometimes you have to do whatever it takes to get the car going. So I do suspect there's a component that kind of serves as a safety switch in the shifter. The reason for that sensor or switch is to not allow the vehicle to be started while it's in gear. Last thing you want is have somebody in drive or reverse starting the vehicle and having it lurching forward or backward run into something. So they put a sensor there that will tell the vehicle it's in park. Okay, now it's safe to start the vehicle. When you wiggle that shifter, you're kind of fixing those contacts so it will operate properly. So I would have somebody confirm that with a test, you know, taking the voltmeter, checking the switch to make sure the contacts are truly failed or failing, and then make the replacement. I don't think I would wait too long, however. That trick of wiggling the shifter will work for only so long, and at that point, the vehicle will not start.
Oh, really? Oh, so there is an end in sight there. Huh. Here's another mystery you can try to solve, Nick. Texter says, I have power door locks. Yesterday, they locked while I was in the store. What would cause this?
That's a strange one. Typically, there's a body control module that controls those types of things. It'll see the interface from the switch in the door or from the fob. If it did it on its own, I would, you know, I'd be a little bit concerned because you don't want to lock the keys in the vehicle, obviously. But I would probably take some notes, pay attention, see what kind of circumstances, because if you take it into the shop and it happened one time, that's a bit of a wild goose chase at this point. So I would like to get a little more information or maybe replicate it a few more times. But do take notes. So when you do take it into that dealership or shop, you can give them as much information to try to pinpoint the source of that.
Okay. This listener sent a text saying, I have a 2016 Ram that every so often the radio, heater, fan, etc. stops working. It has something to do with the U-Connect program software. I'm not sure what that is. How can this be fixed is their question.
With newer vehicles, even like our desktop or laptop computers, sometimes you do need some programming updated. You know, you can contact the dealer or look online. There might be some good information there that can give you some information saying that there's a, maybe not necessarily a recall, but a service bulletin will say that talks about a similar situation where people are having and they've corrected it with a software update. Sometimes when there's bulletins, you're not necessarily notified as a vehicle owner, especially if you're not the original owner. So it might be worth, like I said, getting online or contacting a dealership to see if there's some fresh software that can rectify that problem.
Okay. Dexter comes from Nancy with some nice comments. Thank you, Nancy. Nancy says, I bought a 2019 Toyota 4Runner, and my husband bought a 2023 Toyota 4Runner last summer. His GPS is always on track. My GPS seems lost, or should I say it isn't as accurate. Do I have my GPS system updated? And if yes, how often should I do this and how is it done? How would you solve that problem? GPS.
Kind of on the same theme, I would look online first, you know, collect as much information so when you do contact the dealership, you can say, here's what I have, here's what's happening. Maybe you can figure out what version of the software that you have. Sometimes it's a minimal cost. It's really going to vary depending on manufacturer. And you know, if there's the option to auto-update, so maybe go through the owner's manual. Maybe there's a feature in there you can adjust so it just updates often enough that you don't have to worry. But, you know, as we become more reliant on our devices and our to give us directions, I would probably keep that a little more up-to-date than you used to. But start with calling them, see what's available, kind of get a price point out, and then you can determine what's your best fit.
All right. Good morning. Texter says, is there any engine oil stop leak for seals and gaskets that'll stop or slow down oil leaks? There is less than 150,000 miles on a 4.3 Chevy engine. Texter says, I had the oil changed and they thought it was the crankshaft gasket leaking.
So we've said this line many, many times. You cannot fix a vehicle in a can. Can you do maintenance, some cleaning, some additives help? Yes. But if you have a problem, there's not a product that can fix it short of actually repairing it. If it's a crank seal, there's nothing short of pulling that transmission on the rear, if it's the rear seal, or the pulley, the crank pulley in the front, and replacing that actual seal to fix it. Unfortunately, there's not an easy button on that one. So I would keep it full of oil, keep an eye on it. If it's really starting to gush, you're going to unfortunately have to bite the bullet, I guess, and have it repaired.
Okay. I'm looking at the final text here this morning, Nick, and as you know, we have the smartest listeners in the world, and they always come back with some great tips from earlier calls or texts. Well, here's one, the question about the door locking while someone was in the store. Texter says, I looked this up because it was happening to me on a repeated basis. They referred to it as tight jeans syndrome. If the fob is in a pocket and you inadvertently push the lock or unlock button, this will happen. The tight jeans syndrome. Hey, it sounds possible, right?
Well, you know, sometimes with those really strange issues, you're like, wow, what can that be? And it's oftentimes something that is simple as that, quite honestly. We sometimes think it's the worst case scenario when oftentimes it's the easiest answer.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, thanks the texter for that inside information. Pardon the expression. Okay, Nick, we have to run, and I know and I hope we can get back together next Saturday for another show. But in the meantime, for folks that do want to get in touch with you and your good crew at Lloyd's Automotive, how do we do that?
Absolutely. If you have a question, need advice, feel free to call 651-228-1316. If you happen to be on Grand Avenue, we're at 982 Grand. Stop and say hi. And then, as always, I'd appreciate checking out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good. Nick, thanks so much. Have a safe trip back, and we will talk 1 week from today.
You too, Denny. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Get ready for Jack Farrell from Haskell's Wine Chat, and then get those lawn and garden questions ready for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney in the 8 o'clock hour. That's all straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Fin Road Locomotive. You can polish my chrome so clean. We can fly off into the sunset together. A rusty old American dream still running. A rusty old American dream.
And on this holiday weekend, we welcome your car care questions to Nick Stoffel, who is an ASC certified technician and runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul on Grand Avenue. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
How are you? How was your week?
Well, to be honest, I'm in Florida, so it's been a wonderful week.
Well, you're bringing back some sunshine, I think. By the time you get back, there will be no snow on the ground, is what it looks like now. So your timing was pretty good. Thanks for taking time off on your vacation to help our listeners out, as usual. If you have any problems with your car, your truck, your van, and you need to bring it in for service, but you want to know maybe what could be ailing ahead of time. Why don't you call or text Nick? Either way, phone call or text will work. 651-461-9226. Nick, we already have a couple of two or three texts already this morning. 651-461-9226. But let's hear from you earlier rather than later, because Nick will take his leave in about, 30 minutes or so from right now. Our time is brief and it goes by rather quickly. So let's hear from you. If you have car issues, truck, van, 651-461-9226. All right. While we're waiting for more texts or calls, let's get to those that we have right now, Nick. 2019 Toyota RAV4, it's a hybrid. The heat works, texter says. It flows from the vents in the dash, but no warm air flows from the vents blowing on my feet, only unheated air. Adjusted the setting to only vent on the feet, and it still only blows unheated air. Help, my feet are cold. Well, maybe this week things will warm up. But what could be going on there?
Well, I would suspect something with maybe the blend door, you know, inside the dash where the heater box is. There's a series of actuators and doors that control the temperature of the air flowing and the location. So whether you have it up on the defrost, the vents, or on the floor, those doors, as you turn the knobs, will fluctuate and change in direction, allowing the air to go to the different zones.
And, I mean, how do you correct that?
Well, in yesteryears, they were more of like a mechanical item. There were literally cables, so you turn the knob, and sometimes if you were old enough, you'd remember those knobs would be really hard to turn.
Yeah.
Because mechanically, you were trying to move a cable, move a door that wasn't lubricated, so sometimes that was tough. Well, now it's all electronic. So when you either have a knob or a button on your dash for the heater controls, deciding where you want that, you push the button as it sends a signal to the computer. The computer then sends the power to that door, telling it to adjust to whatever desired temperature or location you're looking for. There could be an obstruction, too, but I think likely it's one of those actuators that's gone bad.
Now, as a technician, first of all, how do you diagnose that? And then how do you attack it? I mean, do you have to take the whole dash area off?
Well, not necessarily. With any repair, the first step is to confirm the customer's concern. So we would go through the whole process of all the controls, you know, whether it's the defrost, the vent, the floor, and all the temperature settings, recirculation, turn the air conditioning on and off, just to get a full assessment of what's going on. Then at that point, with newer vehicles such as this one, there might even be a code stored within the computer system. So you connect the scan tool, access that computer system, retrieve those codes, and there might be a clue saying, you know, there's a voltage issue or ground issue, which is another clue for us to where to start, you know. And then that last thing we do is pull out the schematic to make sure we're not chasing our tail, so that when we do start the process of taking things apart, we're not just taking the whole dash apart. We're going to isolate the area that we need to be working on.
All right. Well, good luck with that. Again, here's our phone number. It's also our text number, 651-461-9226. Let's grab a phone call this morning. I think Dave checking in from Plymouth this morning, I believe. Dave, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
Good morning. I have an 07 Camry that hits hard, you know, on bumps. And I don't know whether it's shocks or struts, whatever they're called. It seems to drive, you know, safely. It doesn't seem to be wobbly or anything. But how do I know whether they need to be replaced or not?
Well, there's a couple things that can be done. Something you can do yourself is joust the vehicle, meaning you go to the front or rear bumper or the trunk lid or the hood, and you kind of depress down. Something you can do yourself is joust the vehicle, meaning you go to the front or rear bumper or the trunk lid or the hood, and you kind of depress down and kind of, like you're bouncing the car a little bit, push it down a couple times and then stand back and see. It should just rebound right back up and settle in. If you notice that it's rebounding a couple times, that's letting you know that they've lost their dampening ability and they're kind of worn out. Another thing that we would do at the shop is we'd raise it in the air. We would look for any kind of leaking from those cylinders of the shocks or struts. And then also look at some of the other pivot points, control arms, ball joints, some of the things that might be moving or worn that can give it kind of an abnormal feeling when you hit a bump in the road.
Thanks, Dave, for the call. Now I understand what shocks do. What's the purpose of struts? What do they do?
Well, they serve the same purpose. They dampen the wheel as it hits the road. The difference is a shock was like a two eyelet component on an older vehicle that would connect the axle to the frame of the vehicle. So when you go down the road, the shock would kind of dampen that axle as it went down the road. Well, with advancements, technology, and vehicles, we now have struts, especially in the front of the vehicle, where that strut actually has a bearing at the top. So the way it's designed is that when you turn the wheel, the whole strut pivots with the wheel, gives it better handling, better alignment angles, better tire wear, a lot of things. So it's just a different design of the same functional component.
Okay, got it. I know we're going to break quickly, but let's do this. Let's grab a phone call first before the break. Ken, calling in from Durand, Wisconsin, I believe. Thank you, Ken. What's your question for Nick?
So my question, Nick, is I have a 2014 F-150 pickup, and I can be driving this thing down the road, and I'll get the wrench light will pop on in the dash, and then all of my gauges completely shut down, my speedometer, everything completely shuts down, and my engine goes into a limp mode. So I pull over, shut it off, start it back up, and everything is working fine. So it's done this about 3 or 4 times now, and I don't know what the heck it is.
Well, that's a frustrating problem to be having. Off the cuff, I would tell you my suspicion is something with the throttle body. There might be a code stored to them. Your next step is to have somebody gain access to the computer, retrieve the code, but I suspect there's something wrong with the throttle body. The throttle body is the electronic unit that controls the air into the engine. So when you depress the gas pedal, there used to be a cable that went from your foot into under the dash and actually would move the butterfly itself. Well, now there's a sensor that determines how much you're depressing the pedal, back to the computer, and the computer sends a signal to the throttle body, which will then adjust that butterfly to determine how much air gets into the engine. Something's, the computer doesn't like something, so as a default, it doesn't want to have that throttle plate opening further than it should, accelerating the vehicle when it should not. So it sees that problem, it goes into what you call limp-in mode. So I that's where I think you're headed, but I would start with getting some codes, get a little more information.
All right, thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call, and we're going to take a quick break here. Invite our listeners to join in. We have more texts coming up. If you have a car care question, you want to call it in or text it in, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, 35 degrees. We're going to be heading near 41 today for Easter Sunday tomorrow. Small chance of showers in the afternoon, but the highs near 45. Right now, 35 on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASE Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, before we get on with things, for folks that maybe need the help from you and your crew at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Absolutely. So if you have a question, need advice, or whatever you need, try giving us a call, 651-228-1316. If you happen to be in St. Paul on Grand Avenue or at 982 Grand, the yellow brick building, green awnings, stop in and say hi. And as always, I'd appreciate if you check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll get that info as you take your leave, which is about 7:45 or so this morning. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Texter said this earlier this morning, a 2011 Honda Pilot, they put in a new battery a couple of weeks ago, it says. And now when they tried to start it, 2 weeks later, all they get is a clicking sound when they try to start it. And even trying to jump start it will not start the vehicle. What's going on there?
That's tough. I still suspect there's an issue with the battery. The battery's dead. I understand that it's been replaced. So it leads me to my next point is I suspect that there's a drain in the system that wore that battery down. So we always want to be careful not just assume that the battery's bad. sometimes it's the easiest path, but not always the right path. So I would have somebody, you know, get the meter out, check for a drain in the system or a draw, and figure out what that draw might be, you know, wiring diagram again, voltmeter again, and kind of pinpointing the location of that. You resolve that problem, and then you won't have a problem with the battery anymore. So I suspect there's something a little bit more than a battery going on here.
Yeah, I guess. Let's grab a phone call from Chris, calling in from Buffalo this morning. Chris, hi, good morning. What's your question for Nick?
Good morning, guys. I read on the internet, and you can't believe everything you read on the internet, but that certain car companies, Chrysler, I think, was mentioned, and Subaru, for an independent dealer like yourself, Nick, to work on and do certain jobs on vehicles other than a basic oil change, you're going to need to buy a software program that allows you to reprogram things. Are you aware of anything like that?
That stands true for most vehicles, to be honest with you. You know, they have, depending on the level of information, and they want to be careful, and I understand, because a lot of security, anti-theft, with remote starts and keyless entry, they have to be careful not just to let the information out for everyone to have. But when you have the right subscriptions, you follow all the right protocols, any manufacturer is going to require some sort of interface to do programming. Some of them have a higher level of security, depending on what you're trying to accomplish. So it's not just Chrysler or Subaru. It's all manufacturers that have a different version of it, but they all have something that we need to purchase or subscribe to in order to do programming.
All right. Good question. Thanks for that. Let's see. I'm trying to catch up on some text messages. Here's another one. I think, Nick, as you probably agree, if there's one question we get a lot of, and it's about oil changes, and we've had for years, I think. This texter just had my oil changed. They said the new sticker on the windshield says every 3,000 miles or 3 months. Now, they used full synthetic oil. Does every 3 months sound right?
Well, my quick answer would be, historically, I would say 3 months, 3,000 on a conventional type oil, 5,000, 5 months on a full synthetic oil, depending on the circumstances in the vehicles. Maybe it was a mistake, or maybe there's a reason on that particular vehicle they want a shorter interval. And, you know, but oil changes are always our hot topic, but, you know, and we say this every time, that inexpensive maintenance, you know, so if you end up doing an extra oil change over the course of a couple of years, it's $50, $75, maybe $100 in some cases. It's way less expensive than some of these mechanical timing chain engine repairs that we're performing these days. So I would advise people, try to keep on top of it. If your vehicle's using oil, it's a good idea to maybe do it a little more often. So I would maybe inquire with whoever did the service if they have a good reason or if it was just a mistake and they put the wrong sticker in the window.
Okay. Tell you what, let's do this. Let's grab a phone call. They're coming in this morning, big time. Warren is on the line calling in from Tampa, Florida. Hey, Warren, thank you. What's your question for Nick, who also is in Florida?
That's good. It's beautiful weather. I got a 2017 Malibu Premier, and it's got the 2-liter turbo. You know, when you go in there, they try and sell you clean the throttle body. That's got direct injection, that service wouldn't be needed with it.
Well, the throttle body is taking the air in. So anything that's dirty, that the air filter doesn't catch, is going to end up coating up on that throttle body. And we also, remember, we have our crankcase ventilation system, the PCV, that will also recirculate some of those vapors that can coat up and dirty the throttle plate. So if the throttle plate is dirty, it should be serviced and cleaned. Now, what I think you're referring to is with the direct injection, we no longer have that fuel spraying on the valves. So sometimes you'll go for a service and they might recommend a product that cleans the backsides of the valves, which can be good maintenance. I'm not saying it's going to fix a problem, but it's a good maintenance item to keep those valves clean. So a little bit different thought there, but I think you're on the right path. With the throttle plate, you should still clean the valves. I would say if it's direct injection, every so often one of those products would be fine. If it's a traditional engine, you know, with a regular fuel injection, that wouldn't be necessary.
All right. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a break for that forecast, see what the weather folks are talking about this weekend and the rest of the week on this holiday weekend. We'll be right back with more Car Care here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good, okay, good Saturday morning to you. Denny Long back with Nick Stauffel, ASC Certified Technician from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. We have, as you know, Nick, a few minutes to go in the show before Jack Farrell steps in here. Let's see how many folks we can help out here text-wise. This texter has a 2012 Hyundai Santa Fe. Sometimes when we turn the ignition switch, the lights on the dash light up, but the starter will not engage. If we wiggle the shifter lever, the car will start as normal. Is there a bad contact somewhere? What do you think?
That's where I'm headed, you know. And it's good self-testing there. You know, when you're in trouble, sometimes you have to do whatever it takes to get the car going. So I do suspect there's a component that kind of serves as a safety switch in the shifter. The reason for that sensor or switch is to not allow the vehicle to be started while it's in gear. Last thing you want is have somebody in drive or reverse starting the vehicle and having it lurching forward or backward run into something. So they put a sensor there that will tell the vehicle it's in park. Okay, now it's safe to start the vehicle. When you wiggle that shifter, you're kind of fixing those contacts so it will operate properly. So I would have somebody confirm that with a test, you know, taking the voltmeter, checking the switch to make sure the contacts are truly failed or failing, and then make the replacement. I don't think I would wait too long, however. That trick of wiggling the shifter will work for only so long, and at that point the vehicle will not start.
Oh, really? Oh, so there is an end in sight there. Huh. Here's another mystery you can try to solve, Nick. Texter says, I have power door locks. Yesterday, they locked while I was in the store. What would cause this?
That's a strange one. Typically, there's a body control module that controls those types of things. It'll see the interface from the switch in the door or from the fob. If it did it on its own, I would, you know, I'd be a little bit concerned because you don't want to lock the keys in the vehicle, obviously. But I would probably take some notes, pay attention, see what kind of circumstances, because if you take it into the shop and it happened one time, that's a bit of a wild goose chase at this point. So I would like to get a little more information or maybe replicate it a few more times. But do take notes. So when you do take it into that dealership or shop, you can give them as much information to try to pinpoint the source of that.
Okay. This listener sent a text saying, I have a 2016 Ram that every so often the radio, heater, fan, etc. stops working. It has something to do with the Uconnect program software. I'm not sure what that is. How can this be fixed is their question.
With newer vehicles, even like our desktop or laptop computers, sometimes you do need some programming updated. You know, you can contact the dealer or look online. There might be some good information there that can give you some information saying that there's a, maybe not necessarily a recall, but a service bulletin will say that talks about a similar situation where people are having and they've corrected it with a software update. Sometimes when there's bulletins, you're not necessarily notified as a vehicle owner, especially if you're not the original owner. So it might be worth, like I said, getting online or contacting a dealership to see if there's some fresh software that can rectify that problem.
Okay. Stexter comes from Nancy with some nice comments. Thank you, Nancy. Nancy says, I bought a 2019 Toyota 4Runner, and my husband bought a 2023 Toyota 4Runner last summer. His GPS is always on track. My GPS seems lost, or should I say it isn't as accurate. Do I have my GPS system updated? And if yes, how often should I do this, and how is it done? How would you solve that problem? GPS.
Kind of on the same theme, I would look online first, you know, collect as much information so when you do contact the dealership, you can say, here's what I have, here's what's happening. Maybe you can figure out what version of the software that you have. Sometimes it's a minimal cost. It's really going to vary depending on manufacturer. And you know, if there's the option to auto-update, so maybe go through the owner's manual. Maybe there's a feature in there you can adjust so it just updates often enough that you don't have to worry. But you know, as we become more reliant on our devices and our to give us directions, I would probably keep that a little more up to date than you used to. But start with calling them, see what's available, kind of get a price point out, and then you can determine what's your best fit.
All right. Good morning. Texter says, is there any engine oil stop leak for seals and gaskets that'll stop or slow down oil leaks There is less than 150,000 miles on a 4.3 Chevy engine. Texter says, I had the oil changed and they thought it was the crankshaft gasket leaking.
So we've said this line many, many times. You cannot fix a vehicle in a can. Can you do maintenance, some cleaning, some additives help? Yes. But if you have a problem, there's not a product that can fix it short of actually repairing it. If it's a crank seal, there's nothing short of pulling that transmission on the rear, if it's the rear seal or the pulley, the crank pulley in the front, and replacing that actual seal to fix it. Unfortunately, there's not an easy button on that one. So I would keep it full of oil, keep an eye on it. If it's really starting to gush, you're going to unfortunately have to bite the bullet, I guess, and have it repaired.
Okay. I'm looking at the final text here this morning, Nick, and as you know, we have the smartest listeners in the world, and they always come back with some great tips from earlier calls or texts. Well, here's one, the question about the door locking while someone was in the store. Texter says, I looked this up because it was happening to me on a repeated basis. They referred to it as tight jeans syndrome. If the fob is in a pocket and you inadvertently push the lock or unlock button, this will happen. The tight jeans syndrome. Hey, it sounds possible, right?
Well, you know, sometimes with those really strange issues, you're like, wow, what can that be? And it's oftentimes something that is simple as that, quite honestly. We sometimes think it's the worst case scenario when oftentimes it's the easiest answer.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, thanks the texter for that inside information. Pardon the expression. Okay, Nick, we have to run, and I know and I hope we can get back together next Saturday for another show. But in the meantime, for folks that do want to get in touch with you and your good crew at Lloyd's Automotive, how do we do that?
Absolutely. If you have a question, need advice, feel free to call 651-228-1316. If you happen to be on Grand Avenue, we're at 982 Grand. Stop and say hi. And then, as always, I'd appreciate checking out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good. Nick, thanks so much. Have a safe trip back, and we will talk 1 week from today.
You too, Denny. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Get ready for Jack Farrell from Haskell's Wine Chat, and then get those lawn and garden questions ready for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney in the 8 o'clock hour. That's all straight ahead here on News Talk 830 WCCO.